2 Corinthians chapter number 6 in your King James Bible and verse number 16. When you find it, let's all read together, shall we? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible that we have in front of us, thy word, thy words in thy word, the King James Bible. I thank you, dear God, that you've preserved it, you've sanctified it, you've glorified it, you've magnified it, and Lord, you've given it to us so we can have it today, inspired of thee. I pray now to you that, Lord, that you would bless thy word, and dear Holy Spirit of God, that you'd open our hearts, our minds, our ears to the hearing of the preaching of the word of God this morning of the truth found therein. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. Please meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is part two from last week, drugs and alcohol. Part two of drugs and alcohol. 2 Corinthians 6 says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? If you're saved, you're the temple of God. Inside of you is your soul and your spirit. The body that you have, the physical body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Last week, we read 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 that said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, if you were here last week, we talked a lot about drugs and alcohol, and there's no way I can even finish this, but I'm going to try scratching the surface again about it. And I'll tell you why this is so important. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter number 9. I may have mentioned this last week. I really honestly don't remember, but Revelation chapter number 9 is a very telling verse concerning drugs and alcohol. We mentioned Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We read in Proverbs 23, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babbling, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. God said, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And that's how intoxicating drugs and alcohol is. You know the damage it does, but you're going to go after it again. The Bible says it is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak in Romans 14:21. Isaiah 5:22 says, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Leviticus 10:9 says, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Proverbs 23 says, be not among wine bibbers. Over and over again, Scripture is very clear about staying away from strong drink and wine that's alcoholic. Revelation chapter number 9, please. And verse number 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. That's the state of the world that we live in. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You would think after the judgment of God falls on people, you would think that people would get right with God. You would think they'd turn their life over. You'd think they would repent. You would think people would ask God for mercy and forgiveness and for God to spare their lives. But when you are not in your right mind, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're thinking. Even when you know the end is coming, drugs and alcohol will affect your brain so much that you will not be in your right mind, in your right state of mind. And you're going to make decisions to forsake God, to rebel against God, to leave God, to say no to God, because you're not in your right mind. As a result, listen to me good, as a direct result of drugs and alcohol. This is why the world wants you to drink liquor, alcohol, beer, wine, champagne, the social drink, and take some drugs, whether it's marijuana or heroin, whatever you want to call it. They want you to snort that cocaine. They want you to get high, because once you ruin your brain, you're not going to want to live for God. And the world knows that. The devil knows that. In verse number 21, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries. The Greek word for sorceries is pharmakeia. That's where you get the word pharmacy from. The drugs, pharmacy. The same word in the Greek, pharmacy, is translated into sorcery. That's why when you watch these hellish movies, these Disney movies that you think are just so innocent with Harry Potter and the sorcerers and stuff like that, everything is drug-induced, alcohol-induced. They want young people and adults to be high and drunk and to partake of narcotics, so it ruins your brain cells and you get in a different state of mind. And when you're in that, you tend to go towards sorcery and devil worship and blood and guts and gore. And people are enthralled now with that, with the black magic and black death and these vampires and all blood and gory movies. Now, everybody's thrilled with that kind of stuff. You know why? They're intoxicated with it. There is a direct link. Sorcery is drugs. And there's a direct link between partaking of the sorcery, reading it, watching it, listening to it, and ingesting it, that'll change your mind and ruin your brain to serve Satan and not God. The Bible says in Leviticus 10, 9, and 11 that God commanded the priests not to drink wine so they could tell the, or strong drink so they could tell the difference between the holy and the unholy. In Ezekiel 44, verse number 21, God commanded the priests not to drink wine. So I ask you a question. How does every single Catholic priest and Orthodox priest drink wine in their church houses, contrary to these scriptures? I ask you. They don't care because they like that wine. They like their wine and their liquor and their beer and their alcohol more than they say they love God. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse 15, woe to him that gives his neighbor drink. Woe unto him that give his neighbor drink. Amen. You give it your neighbor drink, God's woe is going to be on you. And you hear it a lot today, especially in, even I was going to say non-Baptist church, but a lot of Baptist churches are preaching it now, evangelical churches. You know, we have Christian liberty. Now, we can do anything we want. We're not, you know, we don't have to worry about sin no more. We don't have to worry about the law no more. Well, ask a question. Does that mean that you ought to commit murder too and steal and commit adultery? I mean, the Ten Commandments are part of the law in the Old Testament. Does that mean now that we don't have to follow the law because now we have Christian liberty? No, Christian liberty means that once you're saved, you're always saved. And Christian liberty means that God's not going to hold, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Once you're saved, you're going to go to heaven. But that doesn't mean you can go ahead and sin and partake of sin and ruin your life and be a stumbling block to somebody else's life. That's not Christian liberty. God's going to hold us accountable to that. But everybody wants us to think that now we can do anything we want. We can smoke and drink, tobacco, liquor, alcohol, ingest it in our own bodies, get high. After we just read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 16. After we just read 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, where the temple, your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Your body is a temple of God. And God lives in you if you're a child of God. And when you partake of toxic substances into your body that changes your mind is going to be warped and you're not going to think straight. You're going to make faulty judgments, faulty decisions. You're going to err in your vision, in thinking right, in planning right. Amen. I didn't write this, but I'm going to read the Encyclopedia Britannica concerning alcohol. Is the intoxicating ingredient of many beverages produced by fermentation, affecting the central nervous system, impairs coordination and judgment, finally producing coma and death. It is an addictive drug leading to drunkenness. I didn't write that. Baptist preacher didn't write that. I'm just telling you what the Encyclopedia Britannica says. My Bible says, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak, in Romans 14:21. The Bible says in Romans 13:14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you don't take the first smoke, you don't have to worry about the rest of it, amen? If you don't take the first drink, you don't have to worry about it, amen? But once you partake the first drink or the first smoke, I don't care if it's cigarette, tobacco, chewing tobacco, I don't care what it is, nicotine or hashish or marijuana, or I don't care what kind of dope it is, the first time you snort that stuff, man, you're going down the wrong road. You're putting on provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We just read, you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. God said, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Can you hold up that reefer and say, thank God for the reefer while you're smoking? I don't think so. Amen. Can you hold up your liquor bottle and say, glory to God for a liquor that I'm drinking? I don't think so. It's the juice of the devil that ruins your life and ruins lives. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, Colossians 3:17, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. All that you do. Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine or strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. You say, well, that was the Old Testament, the priests. I want to remind you that we are kings and priests in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lemuel's mother taught him, it is not for kings to drink wine, O Lemuel. It is not for princes to drink strong drink, Lemuel. Well, if we're kings and priests in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. Those verses apply to you and I today, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to pervert your judgment. The Bible talks about the Nazarene. He shall, in Numbers 6:3, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. And neither did John the Baptist, and neither did Jesus until he died. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. I read this last week, but I want to read it again. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. You heard me right, don't worry. You'll be thinking about that until we get to the verse. Deuteronomy 32. You're either drinking from the joy of the Lord or you're drinking from Satan's poison. And Satan's poison are his spirits that they sell at the liquor store downtown. The spirits. They're not good spirits, by the way. I wonder why they call them spirits. Yeah, is there any connection there, you think? Nah, probably couldn't be. Deuteronomy 32, verse 33. We read this before, 30, 31, 32, verse 33. Their wine, not our rock, their rock. Not our vine, but Sodom and Gomorrah in verse number 32. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Verse 33, their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Huh. I wonder who that dragon was and who that snake was, that asp was, in that garden there, persuading Eve to eat of the grape that she should not have eaten in the garden there. Huh? I wonder who that was. The father of the wicked juice of alcohol that makes you disobey God and rebel against God. Yeah, buddy. But we're smart in God now. We think we can partake of a little here. It won't bother us. And you're heading down the wrong road of destruction. The Bible says in Psalm 60, verse 3, thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. And God will let you drink. As we said last week, the Rechabites, God brought them into the house of God, and God showed them all the pots of wine in the house of God. And the priest said, go ahead and drink it up, drink it up, drink it up. But the Rechabites loved God more than the house of God. The Rechabites loved their father and the word of God more than the priests and the leaders of the temple. They said, no, we haven't drunk. I don't care if the church offers it. I don't care if the priest offers it. We're not drinking it. So you think because a pastor says it's okay, you think because some church says it's okay, you think that's okay contrary to the word of God. I trow not, ladies and gentlemen. I trow not. I'm surprised. I'm saddened to see so many people who just go along with some church heresy instead of what God says in the Bible. Because we like our sin, and we want somebody to okay our sin, so we're going to find some backslidden false prophet who say, yeah, a little bit of alcohol, it's okay, a little social drink, it's not, no problem at all. Sure, some pastor will say, yeah, I have a little bit all the time, it's not that bad, just a little bit, you know. And they'll pull out some verse, contrary to what we're teaching here, say, Jesus said, you know, Paul wrote, just take a little for thy stomach's sake, you know. And they'll pull out some verse here, you know. Jesus turned the water to wine, having no idea what the word wine, we went that through that last week, have no idea what the word wine means. The Greek, the Hebrew, and the English. But they love their sin, and the people that follow them love their sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, they drink the wine of violence. Proverbs chapter number 9, verse 2, the strange woman, she hath mingled her wine. That's fermentation. In verse number 5, they drink the wine which I have mingled. Proverbs 20, we read that. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. He said in Proverbs 23:20, be not among wine bibbers. They that go to seek mixed wine. He said not to look upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in a cup, when it moveth itself aright, and that's fermentation. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Amen. We read last week, Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. If you're about to die, drink it up, man. Drink the liquor, drink everything you can, drink your, smoke your marijuana. If a doctor gives me 1 week to live, I'm getting high. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, if I know I'm going to die within 3 or 4 days, man, you bring it on. I'm smoking everything I can, man. And by the way, that's what we do with the hospital today. People are giving them morphine. They're put in hospice. They know they're going to die. It's inevitable. Now, I don't trust most doctors. I don't believe most doctors. But if I'm convinced I'm dying within 2 or 3 days, man, you bring it on. You bring the most potent stuff, because I don't want to feel any pain before I die. But I don't plan on dying, ladies and gentlemen. I'm planning on getting up and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God can take me home right now, but I'm planning to live as long as I possibly can to be a good testimony and a good witness and go soul winning and preach the gospel and preach the truth of the Word of God. And I want to be in my right mind when I do that, and I don't want alcohol to cloud up my thinking. Isaiah 5:22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Isaiah 24:11, there is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. All mirth and joy is gone out of America. You know why? Because everybody gets drunk and high. And it's ruining our families, ruining our country, ruining our churches, ruining our homes, ruining all the people, man. Everybody's addicted to alcohol or drugs. Amen. Isaiah 28:7 says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. That's why people can't think straight. They can't plan ahead. They make rash decisions. Ezekiel 44:21, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Hosea 4:11 says, whoredom and wine take away, and new wine take away the heart. The Bible says, the Nazarites were not supposed to drink wine over and over. We went through that last week, I believe, and today some. But Amos 2:12 says, but ye gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, prophesy not. So God's people say, yeah, it's okay. Let them drink. A little bit's not going to hurt them. It's good for you. You know the health benefits. You know, I've read, you know, how good wine, a little bit of wine is good for you. Boy, that's a lie out of hell. That's a lie. If you want the beneficial health benefits of wine, then drink grape juice, because that's the same exact thing, because that's where it comes from. The resveratrol from the grape seed extract is what's good for you. But they don't want to tell you all the added toxins that come with alcohol will destroy you. I said will destroy you. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 5, yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is proud, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home. It's interesting, people who want to drink want to carouse the town, go out and ride around, go from grill to bar to grill. They shack up, they're never home, they're going out Friday, Saturday night, can't get up Saturday morning, can't get up Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. We've said that enough times. In Numbers 6:3, ye shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. I mean, it's all over. Samson's mother was commanded not to eat anything of the vine or drink any wine for Samson. And you know it's a medical fact that women expecting babies should not be smoking or drinking liquor at all, not one drop, because you know it affects the babies. You wonder why they have brain damage. You wonder why they come out paralyzed. You wonder why they have problems, medical problems. Hannah says, I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. We have God's people drinking liquor of Satan, but not praying and fasting for the power of God. Isaiah 28:7 says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, or out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. He said in Isaiah 29:9, stay yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. That's interesting. Isaiah 29:9 says, they are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. You know why? Because sorcery will change your mind and the brain functioning and the makeup of the brain, so you'll be drunk with the world's philosophy instead of what God's word says. Just like there's a famine, not of food and bread, but there's a famine of the word of God, man. Now, I mean, everybody's cupboards are just about full. We have so much. The government gives everybody through welfare and food stamps. If you don't have any food, the government will feed you. This country is not lacking for food, but it's lacking for spiritual food. And there is a famine of the word of God going around. You got to drive many, many miles to hear some preacher preach against sin. You got to drive many, many miles to hear somebody preach something from the word of God, unashamedly. We're just drunk today because we got involved with sorcery, and now we're drunk with the things of the world. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation, please. Revelation. Now, we read Revelation chapter number 9, verse 21, about sorcery. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter number 17. The world is drunk today because Satan has deceived the world and those who are lost. The deceivableness of sin, the Bible says. The deceitfulness of sin. Revelation chapter number 16, please. Everybody's intoxicated and drunk with the Pope in Rome. He's the Antichrist. He's the most wicked person on planet Earth, the Pope is. Revelation chapter 16. Verse number 19. If you look at verse 16, we're talking about the battle of Armageddon, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. Verse 18, great earthquake, lightnings, thunder, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. This is tribulation time. Now, verse number 19. And the great city, Jerusalem, was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her, watch this, the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Now, you may think this is a little contradictory, but God has a cup of wrath that he gives to his enemies, that he allows his enemies to drink from, and it is a mingled cup of wine that causes violence and death that God will let you freely drink from. Friends, if you want to drink from the Pope's cup, have at it. Have at it. If you want to drink from the devil's cup, have at it. And be partakers of the judgment of God upon his enemies. Amen. Before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. That's Rome. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 17. Next book over. And verse number 1. We're talking about, for those of you who don't know the Bible study and prophecy here, Babylon the Great here, the whore of Revelation, is talking about Rome, Vatican City. Chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They're drunk. They slept with the whore of Revelation, Rome, the Catholic Church. And they're drunk. They can't think straight. Just like people who are drunk. They can't think straight. They want power, money, and they want to yoke up with the people who are the rich. Revelation chapter number 18. Verse number 1, 2, and 3. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils. That's strong language for God to say about Rome. And the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage, and of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations, that includes America, by the way. That includes Israel, by the way. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Amid the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So when you partake of that liquor and that alcoholic wine, those drugs, those sorceries, those pharmacies, whether it's CVS or a street corner pharmacist selling his drugs under the table, illegally, it's all sorcery. You're supporting Rome is what you're doing. You're supporting the enemy's crowd is what you're doing. You're joining the ranks of the enemies of God Almighty every time you buy something or ingest something like that. This is not a Baptist preacher I'm about to read. This is not a Baptist preacher. This comes from a doctor. People addicted to pot often think they're not really addicted, particularly if they don't smoke pot every day. Pot addicts are able to go for a few days between smoking another joint. There are hundreds of metabolites in pot, and some of the more addictive ingredients stay in the system for days. It's only when their long half-life is over that serious symptoms begin to set in. They're subtle, difficult to describe, but powerful enough to drive the addict to use again. The first sign is craving. Within hours, as the user starts craving along with feeling irritable and depressed, she rarely links her mood change to withdrawal from marijuana. Withdrawal symptoms come on extremely slowly. This is a doctor of dependency specialist, a doctor of pharmacy. He says, the most intense pot withdrawal really starts at 4 weeks post-pot use. It lingers for a long time. It's a devastating experience. I'm quoting now. I'm just quoting. Withdrawal from marijuana may include physical symptoms such as nausea and a dislike or disinterest in food. Often report having nightmares that continue with some regularity for months. The psychological symptoms associated with marijuana withdrawal most prominently is a severe depression and tendency to cry. Both men and women cry on and off daily, literally for many months after they've stopped smoking pot. This is a doctor talking about this. Hormone production gets disrupted in teenage boys. It also disrupts the motivation system, leading to amotivational syndrome. It becomes all-consuming as the addiction process hijacks the brain of the user. Using marijuana as a recreational drug slowly ceases to be recreational. It is isolating and often disruptive to the life people hope for. No one wants to be an addict, addicted to anything. The stigma against drug-addicted people in our culture is enormous, heavy, and oppressive. They believe that they are in this hooked outsider position for life. That's a doctor writing that, not a Baptist preacher. Alcohol is a factor, for example, in about 60%. By the way, I said last week, alcohol is a drug. Don't sit there and say, well, I don't take illegal drugs, Pastor. I don't care if it's illegal or legal. Alcohol is a drug that affects your brain. Alcohol is a factor in about 60% of fatal burn injuries, drownings, and homicides, 50% of severe trauma injuries and sexual assaults, and 40% of fatal motor vehicle crashes, suicides, and fatal falls. You have a risk of liver disease, heart disease, sleep disorders, depression, stroke, bleeding from the stomach. The list is unbelievable. Several types of cancer, problems managing diabetes, high blood pressure, and other conditions. But you want to drink it anyway. Drinking during pregnancy can cause brain damage and other serious problems in the baby. No amount of alcohol is safe for a developing baby, and women who are pregnant or may become pregnant should not drink. This is from a doctor, not from a Baptist preacher. The brain. Alcohol interferes with the brain's communication pathways and can affect the way the brain looks and works. These disruptions can change mood and behavior and make it harder to think clearly and move with coordination. The heart. Drinking over a long time or too much of a single occasion can damage the heart, causing problems including cardiomyopathy, stretching and drooping of the heart muscle, arrhythmias, irregular heartbeats, stroke, high blood pressure. The liver. Heavy drinking takes a toll on the liver and can lead to a variety of problems in liver inflammations, including steatosis or fatty liver, alcoholic hepatitis, fibrosis, and cirrhosis. Alcohol causes the pancreas to produce toxic substances that can eventually lead to pancreatitis, a dangerous inflammation and swelling of the blood vessels in the pancreas that prevents proper digestion. Alcohol can increase your risk of developing certain cancers, including cancers of the mouth, esophagus, throat, liver, and breast. It can weaken your immune system, making your body a much easier target for disease. It's more liable to contract diseases like pneumonia and tuberculosis than people who do not drink. It slows your body's ability to ward off infections, even up to 24 hours after getting drunk. Alcohol use led to approximately 88,000 deaths and 2.5 million years of potential life loss each year in the United States between 2006 and 2010. 88,000 people. Want to die early? Go ahead and drink it. Shortening the lives of those who died by an average of 30 years. Drinking was responsible for 1 in 10 deaths among working age adults, 20 to 64 years of age. Alcohol consumption in 2010 was estimated at $249 billion. You know why you don't have any money? You're smoking that pot and weed. You know why you don't have no money? You're drinking the liquor. Instead of buying milk and bread for your kids, paying the rent and paying the bills, you're stealing, you're into thievery to fulfill your addiction because your brain is being damaged. ...86.4% of people ages 18 and older reported that they drank alcohol at some point in their lifetime. 86.4. I'm guilty. Thank God I got saved and woke up. I thought it was okay. I thought it was normal. 86.4. 70% reported that they drank in the past year. 70% of people in America drank liquor in the last. You wonder why people are so messed up today? Their judgment is warped. They can't think straight. They make wrong decisions concerning their planning. That's why you hook up with the wrong people. You get drunk. You meet them at the bars. You meet them at the grills. You go out for a drink. Your mind's warped. It ruins your brain cells. You can't think. You give in easily. In 2015, 26.9% of people ages 18 or older reported that they engaged in binge drinking. I'm talking 27% of people. Binge drinking. 27%. In the past month. In the past month. Drinking was responsible for 1 in 10 deaths among working age adults. More than 10% of U.S. children live with a parent with alcohol problems. Not people just drink alcohol. They get drunk, I'm talking about. 1 in 10 children. You say, what's wrong with these children today? Look at the parents. Look in the mirror. ...58% of full-time college students, 18 to 22, drank alcohol in the past month. 58. So what's wrong with these college students? Why are they behaving like that? Why are they demonstrating? Why are they causing violence? Welcome to the subject that nobody wants to talk about. Welcome to the most uncomfortable subject in America today, because Republicans and Democrats want the liquor and alcohol and pot legalized so they can all get high. regardless of what God says, contrary to what God says. And even religious people, and even God's people say, yeah, a little bit's not, it's no problem, that's okay. I can handle a little bit. Sure. ...1,825 college students between the ages of 18 and 24 die each year from alcohol-related unintentional injuries, including motor vehicle crashes. Over 1,800 college students. They got a diploma. They're going for a diploma because they're smarter than the average Joe, you know. And they're killing themselves with alcohol. 696,000 students between the ages of 18 and 24 are assaulted by another student who has been drinking. 97,000 students between the ages of 18 and 24 report experiencing alcohol-related sexual assault or date rape. You know, they talk about assault. They talk about rape on campuses, but nobody wants to talk about the reason for it. The assaulter and the assaultee are both getting drunk. And they don't want to blame themselves. They want to blame everybody else. I'm telling you, if you live the sober life, you stay away from the wrong crowd. But when you're attracted to those drugs, you're attracted to that drink, you're attracted to the crowd that drinks it, you're in for trouble, and then you're going to try to blame somebody else while you end up in jail. About 1 in 4 college students report academic consequences from drinking, including missing class, falling behind in class, doing poorly on exams on papers, and receiving lower grades overall. 1 in 4 college students. These are the future leaders of America. So what's wrong with our country? What's wrong with our politicians? Well, it's the alcohol. In 2013, of the 72,559 liver disease deaths among individuals 12 and older, 45.8% involved alcohol. Every day, almost 30 people in the United States die in motor vehicle crashes that involve an alcohol-impaired driver. That's one death every 51 minutes. That means from the time we've been in church, at least 2 people, statistically, were killed because of alcohol, just from driving, not anything else, just in driving accidents because of alcohol. Every day. More than 1 an hour every day in America. You know, drink responsibly. I say, you know, take poison responsibly. Everything in moderation. Oh, take poison in moderation. Go ahead. Kill in moderation, you know. Commit adultery in moderation. Steal in moderation. You know how stupid that argument is? Drink in moderation. Everything in moderation. That's God. Those are people who don't read what God says, but are in their heads in the world, in the sewer. Because the world sewer wants to sell you that poison. They want to make money off of you so missionaries don't get supported. So the work of God is lessened. Causes the breakup of families and marriages, divorces. 100,000 persons die each year from alcohol-related causes. Drinking and driving crashes, other accidents, falls, fires, alcohol-related homicides and suicides. 100,000 people a year. Well, we need all these immigrants, legal and illegal, because we don't have enough people to work. If you stop drinking, we'd have enough people alive to work. But you don't want to consider your drug, whether it's alcohol or pot, marijuana, heroin, cocaine, whatever it is, whatever your choice of drug is. Alcohol abuse is the third highest cause of death in the U.S. ...7,000 children in the United States under the age of 16 take their first drink every day. 7,000 children in the United States under the age of 16 take their first drink every day. Those who begin drinking before age 15 are 4 times more likely to develop alcoholism, that means being a drunk, than others. Teen alcohol use kills 4,700 people every year. Youth who drink are 7.5 times more likely to use other illegal drugs and 50 times more likely to use cocaine than young people who never drink. There are 1.4 million drunk driving arrests in the United States every year. As many as 40% of violent crimes occur under the influence of alcohol. I'm telling you, I am only reading not even maybe 20% of what I've written down, printed up this morning. I'm not reading 20% of what the statistics would bore you. According to the 2013 National Survey on Drugs Use and Health, daily or almost daily marijuana use increased from 5.1 million users in 2005 to 8.1 million users in 2013. Literally over a 50% jump in users of marijuana in a space of only about 5 or 10 years. We're drunk, we're high, and we're getting further and further away from God. And God's enemies know that. So the higher you can get, the drunker you can get, the happier they are, because they hate God, they hate the Word of God. They don't want people getting saved and going to heaven. They don't want people getting saved from hell. They don't want people living a clean, sober life, happy marriage, happy children, happy family. Amen. They want you end up on their psychiatric couches so they can get paid $300-$400 an hour. They want to put you in mental institutions so they can lock you up like an animal and get paid hundreds of dollars an hour. You think they care about you? They don't give a flip about you. 4 million people aged 12 or older tried marijuana for the first time in 2013. 4 million, 12 years and older. 1 year, 4 million people, young kids. 6,600 new users every day. Marijuana. Let me repeat that. 6,600 young people every day try marijuana for the first time. Go ahead and get mad at the preacher because the preacher cares about you. Because a preacher loves you, because a preacher wants you to live a long life so God can bless you, you get mad at the preacher. The potency of marijuana in today's market is nearly triple the strength of what was available 20 years ago. It brings on a number of different risks: impairment of learning capabilities, impairment of motor and attention control, exacerbation of mental disorders such as schizophrenia, throat damage, lung damage, including cancer, chronic bronchitis, and during pregnancy, fetal development problems. In 2010, it was involved in 461,000 plus emergency department visits, up 64% from 2004. Just 6 years, it went up 64%. Over 460,000 people went to the emergency rooms just because of marijuana. You think it's a safe drug? Okay. That's because you've been listening to the world, not God. You've been listening to people who don't care about your future. Alcohol. There are many forms of this compound called alcohol. However, this is not a Baptist preacher. I'm reading to you what comes out from doctors. There are many forms of this compound called alcohol. However, there is no mistaking that all of them are classified as poisons, toxins to the human body. What happens when one consumes this type of alcohol? Even for those who use it sparingly, immediate behavioral changes, impairment of vision, and unconsciousness can occur at lower concentrations. That's interesting, don't you think? Even at lower concentrations. Just like heroin, marijuana, and cocaine. Take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. Matthew 27. People say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. There's nowhere in the Bible that says he drank it. And it wasn't fermented because there's two wines in the Bible. We went through that last week. At the Last Supper there, Jesus, they had wine there. No, no. The Bible says in the Old Testament that the Jews were forbidden to partake of anything with leaven, especially at the Passover time. And by the way, fermentation is like leaven. Okay, same thing, same process. The yeast in a bread with leaven is the same process where wine is, the alcohol is made through fermentation. Jesus would never disobey his own word. Matthew 27, verse 34. I'm sorry, verse number, 34. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Is that what your Bible says? Amen. He would not drink. Verse 48, and straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put on a reed and gave him to drink. Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. Verse 23. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh. But he received it not. Verse 36. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put on a reed and gave him the drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. Luke chapter 23, please. I know we're late. This is more important whether you're late or not. Looking at your watch, you got someplace to be? Social party, drinking liquor and alcohol? Drinking your champagne? Luke 23. Verse 36. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. John 19, please. John 19. The Bible says in Luke 7:33, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. John the Baptist didn't drink any liquor. Oh, but you're smarter than John the Baptist, huh? John chapter number 10. I'm sorry, John chapter number 19. Verse number 29 and 30. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar. By the way, vinegar comes from two words. Vini is the French word for wine. You may not know that, but vinegar is fermented. Are you paying attention this morning? I know we're so far away from the Bible these days that you don't think anything about what you're drinking or lick or smoking. Okay? But just tell me what the Bible says. Hello? And put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Verse 30. Now watch this. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. That cup of the wine of wrath of God that is going to be poured out during the tribulation period, that is a curse to mankind, the poison of dragons and asps, that God commands us to stay away from because it'll destroy our thinking, our brain, our lives, our testimonies. The last thing Jesus did before he died was drink of God's wrath for you and I, so that you would not have to drink it. So that you wouldn't have to face God's wrath in hell for all eternity. The same God, by the way, which fulfilled Proverbs, goes, let him that is ready to die drink of it. And he's ready to die. He gave up the ghost, and he said, it is finished. And Jesus Christ, the sinless God in the flesh, who never had one bad thought, never sinned one time, who over and over in Scripture tells you and I to stay away from the poison of the devil, the spirits, alcohol, drugs, you name it, Because the temple is the body of the Holy Ghost. The last thing he did, he received it, and he said, it's finished. Because he paid your price and my price on that cross. He paid for the wrath of God that was on him so that you wouldn't have to pay the wrath of God in your life and in eternity. What a great God. What a merciful God that died in our place. Why would you want to partake of that evil when God spared you from it? Why would you want to partake of what the devil's juice is and ruin your life, the only life you have, when Jesus took your sin on his body at the cross and literally paid for your sin there? The chances are pretty good that everybody in this room at one time or another has drunk alcohol or taken drugs. And thankfully, because of our salvation, some of us have stopped. And now we have a clearer mind. We've realized the mistakes and faults and errors and sins that we committed just because of the alcohol, the drink, and the drugs that have caused pain and heartache in our own lives. I would urge you to read the Word of God on a daily basis, because it is the pure water of God that'll clean you out. You have two drinks, either the devil's juice or the pure river, crystal water, that comes from the throne of God. Oh, I drink responsibly. I drink the water of life freely. Yes, I drink orange juice and other juices and water on earth, but my drink of responsibility is the King James Bible. It's been since 1978 since I have knowingly allowed a drop of alcohol go through my lips. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the main reasons why God has blessed this simple preacher is because I've obeyed that commandment of God, and God's blessed me for it. Not because I'm smarter than anybody, not because I know more than anybody, but because I've been willing to obey what this book said, especially concerning alcohol and drugs. You will be shocked. You will be shocked when you stay away from the devil's juices and you read the Word of God on a daily basis, what God will do to you and your mind. You'll sober up. You will mature. You will grow up. And you will be thanking God that God freed you from that sin that you were shackled to. Let's all stand, shall we? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no looking around. Let's pray, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being such a wonderful God. I did not realize that when I got saved, dear God, that I would be preaching behind a pulpit. I did not realize when I got saved that I'd be a pastor of an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church. All I knew is that I didn't want to go to hell when I died, and I wanted to go to heaven to be with you. And I asked you to forgive me my sin, come into my heart, and save my soul. That's all I knew. But I want to thank you, dear God, that you love me enough, or more than I could ever imagine, even now, that you had so much more ready for me at that point of salvation that I was unaware of. And I just thank you, dear God, that through thy word, I have learned to obey you to the best of my ability. And though I fall and though I sin, I thank you, dear God, for your mercy, your forgiveness, your long-suffering, your patience with me. And my prayer this morning is, dear God, for everyone, not just in this room, everybody who will listen to this sermon, most all of us have partaken of the devil's drink, his spirits, and we can attest that it has ruined some parts of our lives and our bodies. The repercussions and fallout from that one first drink, the first smoke, have had consequences beyond what we ever dreamed about, what we ever planned about, we ever thought about. We thank you for your mercy, for your forgiveness, and your long suffering and your patience. My prayer is this morning, dear God, that we would anew yield ourselves to thee, anew present our bodies a living sacrifice, our minds, our hearts, our bodies, the temple that you have paid for and bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. bless these dear folks. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God. God's people praying. God's people praying.